That's light. Thank you. Yeah, Jesus. Thank you, little thing. Yeah, so. Sorry about that little egress there. Okay, so. We do get serious. This is serious. No, so we do want to take a moment and honor the Lord and remember what He's done for us. And it's not just honoring Him. What will honor the Lord most is what the purpose of it, what He wants us to do is remember what He did and what it means to us. He doesn't want us to forget the work that He did for us, lest it be for naught. You know, obviously the salvation is lost, but there's so much more to it, like His body being broken. That part of it, when He says, "This is my body," He took the bread and He broke the bread before His disciples, and He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And Paul picks up in 1 Corinthians 11 and says, "Many among you are sick, and many have died, because you're not rightly discerning. You don't understand what He did for you by the breaking of His body. You're not rightly discerning the Lord's body. If you understood that His body was broken for you, it is so that you would be supernaturally healed, that you would walk in divine health." And Paul says, because you don't understand that, you're sick. And then you're dying because you don't get it, that you don't have to. He didn't just shed His blood for your sin, but His body was broken for your physical body to be healed. It's both. So then He took the cup and He said, "This is my blood in the new covenant." So that was representing the shedding of His blood for our sins. The body was broken for our physical body to be healed. And I'd like for any of you, any time that you do have an ailment and we're asking you at the end of the service to come up and pray, I don't want you holding back from that. I'd like to see more miracles happening here, but it's hard when, you know, there's no one we pray for. Now, if that's because everyone wants healed, that's the best. That's where we're supposed to be. So that's awesome. But I'm just saying, if you have any kind of an ailment in your body and you're just not coming up for prayer, don't do that. Come up. We want to slap some hands in some heads and see some people get healed. We don't want to slap some dead. Anyhow, that's that. So, if you would go ahead and bring up the elements, and we're going to take communion. I'm going to read the passage from 1 Corinthians 11. So it doesn't surprise you that I found a bowl. And Aaron, until you take one, let a bowl come at you one time, you cannot say that I didn't find a bowl. Even then, only after you take two passes can you tell. Okay. All right, so just for, you know, sake of logistics, why don't we come out to the center and go around the, you know, the other outside and go back into your row that way. Lord Jesus, we take this moment now to remember You, that we would not forget the work that You did for us. We do this to honor You and to receive all that You paid for us. We bless You, we bless You, we bless You. All right, why don't we go ahead and come up and everyone just take an element. Don't partake of it yet. Just take it, go back to your seat, and we'll all take it together.
Traditions. What they say is you got to get yourself right with God before you receive communion. There's some set of stipulations saying these are the sorts of things you shouldn't have done. You before receiving communion or these sorts of things. But you hear what Brad said the Bible says. What's the only way that you can receive communion wrongly? See, those traditions are saying don't receive communion wrongly. If you've sinned or something like that, you've got to go to confession before you can receive communion. But you hear what the Bible says. The only way that you can receive communion wrongly is not fully believing what Jesus did for you. Did you catch that? The only way that you can be receiving communion wrongly is not believing what Jesus did for you when his body was broken and his blood was shed on the cross. Brad said exactly that, but I want to make that big distinction, because if you grew up in a certain church, in other church traditions, like I did and many of us did, often you'll hear something taught to the effect of get right with God before you receive communion. What the Bible says is receive communion correctly by rightly judging what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen. That's good. So this is the instruction of the Lord. Paul is reading this. He's saying this to the people. The Lord is pointing out, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. So here's what he received from the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, so he gave thanks to the Lord, and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread here. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, this is very odd to their ears, because their entire life up to this point, they've been under one covenant. And he said, this is a new covenant that I'm making with you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. My blood is what's going to seal this new covenant. This do in remembrance of me. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Jesus, we drink this remembering your blood that was shed for our sins. Let's take this together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're saying we recognize, Lord, what you did for us. We declare by the taking of this, and we will do this until your return. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you that you bore our sicknesses and you carried our diseases. You took the sickness and disease of the human race away. You carried it on your body on that cross, and by your stripes, we were healed. And by your blood, which was shed on that cross for us, we were forgiven. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Continuing in our message of understanding the Holy Spirit, we are learning and becoming more familiar with Him, the person of the Holy Spirit. members of the Godhead. And I hope this is doing for you what, you know, I wanted to do, and that is to help you develop a personal relationship with Him, becoming closer to Him, understanding His role in your life. The Holy Spirit is in no way lesser than the Father or the Son. He is in no way less God than God the Father or God the Son. He is God the Holy Spirit. So in a quick review, going over a couple of things that we've already gone over, the first thing I mentioned to you is that He is, who is the Holy Spirit to you? He is the God whom you hear. When you say, when you pray to the Lord, you ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do in this situation? Or what would you have me do here? And you hear the Lord speak to you. The first time I heard the Lord speak to me, He said, "Dawn is with me, stop being angry with me." Referring to my brother who had been killed years earlier. I heard the Lord say that to me. I don't remember if it was the second time, but one of the very next times that I heard Him. No, yeah, I remember what He said the second time. I heard Him the second time and He said, "You have unforgiveness in your heart. It's not of me. Get it out." That's all He had to say. I knew exactly what He was talking about and who He was referring to. I got in my car and drove 15 hours nonstop, knocked on that man's door, and took care of it. Drove 15 hours so I could tell him face to face, "I forgive you. It's all good." I mean, I just felt the conviction of the Lord to deal with that. Another similar time, maybe the third time I heard from Him, He said, "I want you to speak to the girl that's behind you." I was in the library. As far as I knew, there was no girl behind me, but turned around, there was a girl behind me. These are, I'm actually hearing the voice of the Lord in these particular situations. I'm not talking about an impression. I'm talking about I hear His voice, words, English words. I hear Him speak to me. You know, "I want you to talk to the girl that is behind you." You know, words. That, I always thought was the Father that I was hearing, but I've learned through Scripture it's actually the Holy Spirit. The voice that you hear, the God that you're hearing, is the Holy Spirit. I've told you one way to kind of prove that out is throughout the Old Testament, we see the Lord speaking, but the New Testament reveals to us that was the Holy Spirit. I have another example, I just lost it. But we just see in the New Testament, in the New Testament, there's only three times in which the Father Himself actually speaks. All the other times, it's the voice, it's either Jesus speaking while He was here on the earth or after He left, and it's the Holy Spirit. So, but right now, who we hear, when we hear the Lord, we say, "The Lord spoke to me," it's actually the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if that's disturbing to you, because you think, "Well, I always thought it was the Father speaking to me." Understand this. The Father is speaking to you. But He does it through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it is, I'm taking too long, because I still have 17 more to go through. So it's the God that you hear. Number two, He brings you, it's the Holy Spirit who brings you and me into the fullness of God. And I've already given you scriptures on this, but a couple of those are 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says that God desires that we would know Him completely. It is not that the Father's will that we barely know Him. I love this about the Father. You know, you could think He's kind of like just giving me a little bit at a time or whatever. Well, there is a truth in that He is, but that's just because that's how much we're seeking Him. But Jesus said, "Anyone who hungers and thirsts," what? What's that? That's right. "They shall be filled. They will be satisfied. I will not leave you wanting. If you seek for Him, He'll be there." The more you want to know the Father, He'll be there. He wants you to know Him more than you want to know Him. So, The Holy Spirit is the person who's going to bring us. He is here to bring us into the fullness of God. Do you understand him? Ephesians chapter 3 specifically spells out that it's the love of the Father, or the love of Christ, that he wants us to know. Because he says the more you know that, the more you will come into the fullness of God. It's when we realize how much God loves us. Well, if you want to really know how much God loves you, understand who's going to do that for you, and it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to reveal the Father's love for you. Number three, he is your ability to move and have your being with God. Now, I just took a little time last week. I had to break it down. Why is it the Holy Spirit who makes it so that you're able to have your being with God, where you become one with God? And the reason for that is, it is Christ alone who gives us access to the throne. It's through Christ we have a relationship with the Father. But the Bible teaches us we cannot be in Christ apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit puts us in Christ. That's it's a New Testament terminology. To become one with Christ is a work of the Holy Spirit. And then once we're one in Christ, we have access to the Father. So our relationship with the Father is dependent upon a working of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I say the Holy Spirit is the one who causes you to have your being with God, your communion, your oneness with the Father. That cannot take place apart from the Holy Spirit. Involved in that, our ability to move and have our being with God includes everything that you would do with God, including things like your ability to pray, your ability to read and understand the Word, your ability to heal the sick, and all the supernatural gifts. All of that can only operate as a result of the Holy Spirit. So you can read the Word, but you're not going to have revelation knowledge from the Word. You can pray to God as an unbeliever only to the point of wanting to get saved and asking the Father to come into your life. The Father is not obligated to do anything for a child who has not given their life to Christ, because he is not their Father. It's a misunderstanding. A common misunderstanding that many people who are not born again believe that God is their Father. But God himself tells us throughout the New Testament, one verse makes it very clear, is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12. It says that only after we receive Christ are we given the right to become children of God. Until then, we are not his children, and Jesus is speaking to the Jews. I mean, if anyone has a relationship with the Father, certainly it's the Jews. And they were getting on Jesus' case about something, and they said, we're of God, we're from God, we don't know about you. And he said, you're not from the Father. He said, if you were from the Father, you would hear my words and you would obey me. He says, but you are of your father, the devil. I mean, how many know Jesus did not mince words? Wow. He just says it straight up. He says, no, you're mixed up with who your daddy is. My daddy is not your daddy. He can become your daddy, but he's not your daddy right now. Your daddy is the devil. Now, if you want to change that, I suggest you listen to me. That's what I'm here for. I've come to that you might have a relationship with the Father. Right? So, yeah, now let me move on. Let me see how far I got. That is where I left off last week. So now the next point, which is number four. This is the role of the Holy Spirit in the earth. Number four, he convicts the unbeliever of sin to bring him to Christ. That is John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11 will address the next three things that I'm going to be saying. This is one of them. Three things the Holy Spirit does revealed in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. Number one, he convicts the unbeliever of sin. So he's in the earth. This isn't a bad thing. This is a really good thing. Thank God for it. Or I would never come to Christ, and neither would have you. None of us would have come to Christ if it wasn't for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, he moved on someone to speak to you. It may have been several someones to speak to you throughout your life. For some people, it's one person. Others, it's two. Others, it's 25. But at some point, enough people spoke to you, and the Holy Spirit got on those words, and the words would have been given to you. Because it's not the mind that needs to become convinced, it's the heart. And only the Holy Spirit can affect the heart. There have been many, many, many times, right? I'm serious, this isn't one or two times, but I'm calling it many. Many times I've been speaking to people about Christ, and they've heard it. You know, maybe they watched, you know, a lot of programs or whatever. I don't know how they heard, but they would say to me, and I've had this said to me different ways, basically saying the same thing. Man, it's just something about it. When you say it, I feel like it's just going right inside of me. They say it in some term like that. There's just something about it. And I'll tell you what, my words aren't eloquent. I'm not saying anything fancy. I'm just telling the gospel. But I know exactly what's happening. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples after he walked with them for 3.5 years, are they trained? Do you think they're well trained? You can't get any better trained when God himself has trained you for 3.5 years. I'd say that's well trained. Yet Jesus tells them, I don't want you going anywhere. You go into the upper room and you wait for the promise which you know I've told you about several times. You go there and you wait for that. For when you are there, the Holy Spirit will come, and you shall receive power when he comes, and then you shall be my witnesses. He says, you need him if you're going to be my witnesses. These are well-trained men. They've been trained by God for 3.5 years, and Jesus says, you're not going anywhere to talk to anybody about me until you receive him, the Holy Spirit, because he's actually the one who's going to be the witnessing. You'll speak words, and they would be empty vessels if it wasn't for him. He will fill those words and go right into their heart, and penetrate their heart, and they will become convinced of me, that they need me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So he convicts the unbeliever of sin. Number 5, he convinces the believer of his righteousness in Christ. We need him to remind us of who we are in Christ. He is the witness on the inside of us. You know, I could ask every one of you, do you really believe in Jesus? Do you believe he's your Lord? Do you really believe in him? And I'm certain that everyone here would say, absolutely. Like, how long have you believed it? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? I've been walking this walk myself for 30 years believing this. And yet, think about it. Have I ever seen Jesus? I've never seen him. We're talking about some man that died 2,000 years ago. And yet, I've lived my life for him. I have forsaken many things in my life that I had in my life previous to Christ. A lifestyle, radical lifestyle change. I mean, radical lifestyle change. You know, I was like, I was a typical worldly guy. The day before I got saved, you know, I was very worldly. I changed in a moment. I mean, I went from, you know, drinking, smoking, cussing, and all the other stuff to, I need a Bible. God, I need a Bible. Someone knocks on the door, the Lord says, you need this. I'm going to go, the Lord says, you need this. Hand me a Bible. I mean, supernatural life started, man. It started. I was like, thank you. Shut the door and just sat down, had no furniture, and just devoured the Word. I never even thought about reading the Bible. Ever. Never. Up until that point. Now, I can't get enough of it. What's happening? What happened? Something supernatural happened on the inside of me. It's called the Holy Spirit. He came into me. Someone spoke to me about God. I prayed a prayer. The Holy Spirit came into me July 17, 1983, about 8 o'clock in the evening. And I was changed. I was a new person. Someone came and visited me a year later after I'd been walking the water for a year, and this woman knew me, you know, previous to that, and she told me, I was living in California, she was from Ohio, she came out to California, not to see me, but to be in California, I was there, so we hung out for a little while, and she said, you know, Brad, when I go back, I honestly don't know if I'm going to even try to tell people what you're like. She said, nobody's going to believe me. It was just, her mind was blown by who I was. So here's some of the seeds, the contrast. Radical transformation in my life. How? It wasn't willpower. It was a person who came into my life, the Holy Spirit, and drove me to want to know Christ. That's why you have the conviction that you have. That's why you believe in Christ. None of you have seen him. Well, maybe some of you have seen him. I mean, that's happened. But my guess is the majority of you, if not all of you, have never even seen the one that you say you believe in. How do you know it? How are you so convinced? Him. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, convincing you of it. He placed his Spirit into us, and it's his Spirit that bears witness with our spirit, Romans chapter 8 tells us. So he convinces the believer of his righteousness. Number six, he convinces all of us of the devil's soon day of judgment. What? All the scriptures? Oh yeah, are they not going up there? Yeah. John 16, 8, and 11, are you putting those up there? I'm sorry, what do you need? Yeah. Oh, well, he doesn't have it. Yeah, and I don't have any slides prepared for that. So, yeah. We're just note-taking today.
There you go.
And he's putting scriptures up. Oh, yeah. He convinces us that the devil's day of judgment. Yes, very good. And he's just doing that for us, so you can thank Louie for that later on. So I'll just move on to that, but you know this is important. Is the fact that we know about the devil's doom.
Tell us we're
gonna
win.
Exactly. That also that you're convinced of that, not just by scripture, but because the Holy Spirit tells us that it is so. But he also is convincing the devil of it. He's reminding the devil of it on a regular basis. And his day is short. His days are short. All right, so now moving on to number seven. The Holy Spirit, he empowers the believer to put to death the deeds of the body. This is a big one. He empowers the believer to put to death the deeds of the body. Look with me at Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. This is why we need to thank the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. Your ability to walk the Christian walk is only because of him. He is your ability to walk the walk. Romans 8 and verse 13, let's just start in verse 12 just to kind of get a little more context to it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, this is really important to know, and I don't want to get off of this. I can easily preach on this, but you need to understand. I need to understand. You will never, and I will never walk this walk by willpower. It does not say if you put to death in either body, you will live. That's not what it says. It says if by the Spirit you put to death in either the body, you will live. So, if we live according to the flesh, we will die. What does that mean about living according to the flesh and putting to death the deeds of the body? What's that referring to? Well, a good place to see that is in Galatians chapter 5. So let me just read those real quick. Just kind of get a feel for this. It says in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we understand the subject matter here. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, so again, you see here what he's saying, it's the Spirit of God who makes this happen. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And then he begins to explain what the works of the flesh are, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Alright? Exactly. Like. Alright, I can get the point, and the like. So, this is not an exhaustive list, he says. You can get the point. All that junk that's not of the Father. Judgment, gossip, and the like. Right? Of which I tell you beforehand that just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, it says, if it starts off in verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, if you just looked at verse 13, says that if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us. I can't go into an exhaustive exactly how that happens. That's a whole sermon in itself. I'm just trying to tell you the role of the Holy Spirit in you and my life. Alright? So, moving on. I'm doing good. Much better than the last 2 weeks. I'm making some points here. I'm making some traction. Okay. So, let's see. Number 8. All believers are to be led by Him. What does the Holy Spirit do? He leads you. Now, we just read that in Galatians chapter 5 and talking about this, you know, the Spirit. What does it say? I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit. Right? So it goes on right there, it talks about being led by the Spirit. Another verse that talks about that is Romans 8:14. We just looked at Romans 8:13. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. You get what God is expecting. He's expecting that we will be led by His Spirit. Perfect example. I hope you don't mind using me. I don't really know how He's leading you. So I can only speak about how He's leading me. Oh yeah, I meant to make this announcement anyhow. Next Sunday will be my last Sunday that I'm ministering here for previous to my short sabbatical. So just so you know, I hadn't made a definitive date yet because I was trying to see how the series goes. I didn't want to leave in an awkward place with the series. So I've now purchased my plane ticket. I am going to Arizona to spend time with a lifelong friend of mine. It's great. I haven't seen him in 7 or 8 years. We're going to hang. But here's a great example. I had fully intended to go to Columbia. I had a month off, and so I was going to go to Columbia. Gives me a little bit of time to go there. I miss it. I haven't been there in 3 years. I've been there. I've lived there every year for 10 years. It's my home. It's my second home. And I just absolutely love it. Mainly, the reason I love it is because of the lifestyle down there is so me. It's so community-oriented. It's so relationship-oriented. The streets are teeming with people. You know how we have like a jazz fest downtown? That's what Columbia looks like all the time. It looks like that 365 days a year. It's not quite as packed as it was down there, but I mean, thousands of people are in the streets every single day. First time I went there, I was driving through Mexico. Mexico's the same way. So it's the Latin culture. And I had this girlfriend I was dating from Acapulco. We were driving to Acapulco so I could meet her family. And we're driving, we get to this first small town, and you know, we're in the center of the town. There's a little park and a gazebo in the middle, and businesses all around, and it was just teeming with people, and I was all excited. And I'm like, woo, party, you know? I love it. Can't speak much Spanish, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna just start talking to people. So I asked her, hey, what's going on? And she said, what do you mean? I mean, like this, what's going on? Is there like a festival or something going on? She goes, what are you talking about? This, what's going on? We were like totally miscommunicating. She's like, why are you asking? She didn't know what I was asking. I'm thinking, what part of this you don't understand I'm asking? What's going on? And then she's like, I don't know. I mean, what? People are, what? What? I said, why are all the people here? They're always here. What do you mean? Like, every day? They're like this? Yeah. And we were just totally missing each other. Because that's what she lived in. She didn't understand why I didn't get it. It's because that's not what I lived in. I live in, you know, I go to my house down the road, and I can look a mile that way and 5 miles that way, and they're in the soul. Nobody, if I stay there long enough, someone will come jogging by with earbuds. I can even try and say hi. Well, and so I realized, I'm like, are you serious? This is what it's like all the time? Yeah, that was it. I knew I was meant to be born in Mexico. I don't know. My parents just went listening to the Lord or something. I don't know. Just keep going. I'd be born in America. No, I love America. Don't get me wrong. So anyhow, long story short, now fast forward. That's when I knew I wanted to spend time in Latin America of some sort. Anyhow, end up traveling all around to try and find the ultimate place. Found Colombia. When I go to Colombia, it's just the streets are teeming with people. When I went to Costa Rica, which was one of my first jobs looking around, I was there for 3 days. I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I just found a country. I just found a country full of people just like me. I just found a whole country of people just like me. This is great. I don't even have to do all the initiating. You know, going around like, hey, how are you? Hey, what's your name? Hey, how are you doing? I'm just walking around the street, they're like, hey, how are you? Hey, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Everyone's talking to me. I love it. Everyone hugs everyone. Everyone kisses everyone. It's awesome. So anyhow, I love Latin America. So I'm all excited, you know, since I've been pastoring, I have not had the opportunity because I cannot take, I always went for 3 months. All of January, February, and March. And ever since I started pastoring there, I'm like, that doesn't work. I can't leave for 3 months. So you guys were gracious enough to let me have a month off. So I'm like, I'm going to Colombia. And I was on the computer for like 2 weeks searching to find a place to rent, all that. I'd always been able to do that, usually in a day. I'd spend a couple hours, I could find a place to rent. I couldn't find a place to save my life. And I mean, I found a bunch of places, but not the place I wanted to be at. And I was hunting. Finally, I got down to two places, and I was trying to decide between one of these two apartments that I was going to rent. And I was just trying to figure out those ones. I could hit enter, you know, and rent it. You know, it's all through this one website. And I mean, I just couldn't make a decision. I was just struggling. I just stopped. Lord, help me to understand what I'm supposed to do here. Which one should I rent? And I just felt like no peace on either one of them. And I went, Lord, why? This whole thing's been such a struggle. It's been 2 weeks I'm trying to put this together. Is that you? And I just sense this little light, this little lifting of the heaviness with that question. I'm trying to help you understand the leading. I'm sure most of you get it. But you don't want to over-mysticize it. Over-mysticize this. Don't make it too mysterical. No, mysterious. That's hysterical. Thanks for the mysterious. Don't make it too mysterious. It's just like that. It was just a sense of, I sense the heaviness. You know, like, as Kenneth Hagin describes it as a red light, stoplight, versus a green light. Or when it's a green light, it's like fuzzy and soft and warm and wonderful. When it's a red light, it's like, it makes you kind of fold up a little inside in the middle. It's like, it's just not there. So I'm just feeling this heaviness. And I said, Lord, is that you? And I felt just lift just a little. Just a little. And I'm like, whoa. Lord, I mean, surely you would want me to go to Columbia, right? You know I love it. I put the computer down, slid out of my chair, got on the living room floor, just got before the Lord. Father, I want to know, Lord, is this you? Father, if you don't want me to go to Columbia, I just lift it up to you right now and I say it's yours, Lord. I will not go if you don't want me to go. You, it's yours. There was, there's my peace. Wow. Lord, are you serious? Okay. That's it. I'm not going, Lord. Close my computer. No more planning. 2 weeks I've been working on this. I mean, I've been communicating with a couple people down there. I'm so excited. I'm coming back. They're like, wow, this is great. We're going to perform singing, you know. So I'm talking to these people and all that. I've got all this now I have to undo. I go into the kitchen. I start kind of preparing some food. And I find myself in there just kind of giddy. And I'm excited. And I literally stop. I said, Lord, this is really, this is odd. This is weird. I'm excited that I'm not going to get to do something that I really want to do. Yes, it's the Lord. It was just, my peace was back. I hadn't had peace for 2 weeks. I've been pushing through that thing, and it's just because I can't figure out what I'm doing. You know, no, that's not what it was. It was the Lord. And now my peace returned because, and that's what I was excited. I was like, Lord, it's just because it's so exciting to be led by you. I don't care. I can't go to Columbia. All right. And you know what? It's beautiful because there's a reason I'm not supposed to go. It's really good that I listen to him because I could have gotten in a car wreck down there. I could have gotten mugged. Maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it's just something that's going to happen here while I'm here for these 2 weeks, whatever. I mean, you can speculate a thousand reasons why. It doesn't matter. Just let him lead you. You know? Now, I'm going to Arizona. I ended up, you know, talking to a friend of mine, and he was like, why don't you come here, man? You come hang out with me. And, you know, I had thought about that, but I didn't really want to, and so I didn't want to tell him that. But when he said it, changed that moment. I'm like, that'd be great, actually. Are you sure you're good with me? He said, of course, man, come on, stay here. We're Skyping, you know what I'm talking about. And then I started getting all excited. Now I'm super excited about it. So, anyhow, there's just an example of, you know, I mean, look, my friend is like the ultimate minimalist. He has a bed, a desk, and a chair. And this whole apartment, that's it. 2-bedroom, big condo though, big, just empty. He took his computer and walked around to show to me, because this is where I'm going to be staying. Empty wall. You think you just moved into the place, like, you're buying it, it's empty. He's been there for like 7 years. He has nothing. I'm going to land. I'm going to go. I told him I was going to buy an air mattress. He goes, no, don't worry about it. I've got one. So we already have that. I said, all right, I'm going to go to Walmart and buy a couple chairs and put them in your living room. So I have a place to sit and read the Word in the morning. I'm going to go to Walmart and buy, you know, $5 plastic chairs and put them in his living room. So you can say, I wasn't like real excited about going to stay here. But now I'm elated. It doesn't really make any sense logically, but I'm excited because it's the Lord. So it's really good. So being led by the Spirit, I kind of wanted to take some time on that. I knew I was going to do that because this is so important for all of us. We need to let him lead our life. You don't choose a church because you like the way it looks or certain, you know, you like the comfort of the chairs or whatever. You choose a church because the Holy Spirit is leading you. This is where I want you. You know, this church has been freezing during the winter for years. You know, for those of you who are newer to and not know that, we were on winter coats for years, and you know, all throughout the winter. I realize it's not necessarily toasty warm, but I think it's really comfortable.
72.
Yeah, baby, that's right. Brian is the one who controls our temperature here. 72, I'm thinking it is comfortable. That's perfect. That's where I keep my house. This is awesome. But the point is, people were coming here and staying here for years while it was freezing. Because they're here because the Lord led them here. That's where you need to be. He knows what you need imparted into your life. And so he will have a certain shepherd over a church, and that shepherd has particular things that God wants you to have. He'll lead you there. This is what you need. Go there. Yet we go to some churches and we go, I like the music or I like the chairs or whatever. And the Lord's like, well, can I lead you? I have certain things I want to impart to you. You're not going to get them there. You're going to go backwards there. You know? So we need to be led by the Spirit in everything that we do. And that includes leaving a church. You don't leave the church because the pastor said something that upset you. Hello. You don't leave a church because someone else sitting next to you said something, or because there's certain doctrines that you don't agree with, or you don't really care for the style of music, or you don't care for the length of worship, etc., etc. These aren't reasons that you leave a church. I was being accused of something outrageous in a church one time. It all started by one woman who did not like what I taught. So her way of getting rid of me, because she couldn't get rid of me any other way, she started an outrageous lie that spread through the whole congregation. That was her way of getting me ousted, right? Well, I decided I was leaving because it got so bad. And I went to the pastor and I said, "Have you heard this?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I've heard it." I said, "Would you be willing to address?" I said, "Do you believe it?" He goes, "No, I know it's not true." And I said, "Would you be willing to address it from the pulpit? Because, I mean, it's pretty bad. Like, everyone's talking to me about it. It's really bad." He goes, "No, I don't believe that's what the pulpit's for." And I agree with him to a point. But when the entire church is talking about it, it's past that point. Now it needs to be addressed from the pulpit. But he didn't. He's like, "No, that's not what the pulpit's for." And I said, "All right." I thought about it for another week or two. It was so bad, I decided that I'm leaving. This is ridiculous. I'm just not interested in being here where people are believing this about me. I made the decision to leave, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. When I made that decision, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, "You have anything to ask me?" And I'm like, "Oh, I need to ask you. I mean, you know what's going on." Yeah. But he said what he said, so I thought about it. I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, is it all right with you if I leave?" "No." All right, and then I tried to have more of a conversation with him. There was no more conversation on this one. Oh, no. So I stayed 6 more months, and it only got worse, and it got really bad. Then, it got so bad, the pastor decided, from the pulpit, he needs to address this, and he asked me to leave the church, publicly. When he said the words, I heard the voice of the Lord clear as day. He said, "Now you can leave." Isn't that interesting? The pastor says, "And I would like for," he wouldn't even say my name, "This person has done this and this and this and said these things," and he started talking about my teaching, which he always embraced and thought was great. Now all of a sudden he's in a disagreement with my teaching, and he used that as the excuse. You know, he believes God wants everyone healed, he believes God wants to prosper you, and I would like for this person to leave. "You can go now." The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. It was like he was saying, he's not even the one from the side. I decided to leave. I decided, you know. But, you know, the Lord's not going to even come against that authority in that situation. He's going to leave, but he gave me permission. And I got up and I walked out of the church. I'm just using that as a powerful example of, he says when you go to, where you go to church, and he says when you leave the church. If you are choosing to be led by the Lord in your life. Now, if you're looking at life and you're saying, "Hey, I'm doing my own thing, I'm not really even looking for his leading," you're not going to find his leading. The Lord's a gentleman. He will yield to your free will that he gave you. You have to have a life that says, "I want to be led by you, Lord." You have to have a life that is saying, "I want to be led by you, not by me." Now, you can take that too far and become really flaky. I've had many people, you know, talk to me about things. I'm like, "Come on. The Lord gave you a brain for a reason. He's not going to tell you when to brush your teeth, when to take a shower. If you stink, take a shower. Use a little deodorant. You know? The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you these kinds of things, right? I mean, some people really get silly. You know, haven't had a job for a year and a half because I'm just waiting on the Lord. I've had that one said to me many times. "Really? Are you looking at all?" "Well, no, I'm just waiting on the Lord." All right, well, he's waiting on you. Just saying. He's waiting on you. He'll bless wherever your foot treads. Start treading. Start knocking. Yeah, amen. Thank you for that. Okay, so, moving on. Or not. God. Praise the Lord. Okay, we got through, where are we?
9.
That was number 8. That was number 8. All believers ought to be led by him. You know, I'm really sorry. Let me just go through real quick. He's the voice that you hear, number 1. He brings you into the fullness of God, number 2. He is your ability to move and have your being with God, is number 3. Number 4 is he convicts the unbeliever of sin. Number 5, he convinces the believer of his righteousness in Christ. Number 6, he convinces all, and especially the devil, of his soon day of judgment. Number 7, he empowers the believer to put to death the deeds of the body. And number 8, all believers are to be led by him. I haven't done that one yet. I think I said, oh really? Maybe I said it, Louis put it up there, but I wasn't really giving that as my number yet. No, I haven't done that. I'm looking for it. I'm kind of holding that one off. Number 4. Who can say what number 4 is? He convicts the unbeliever of sin to bring him to Christ. I don't think it really matters at all about the order, just that you get them. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that you're wanting to know those, but don't worry too much about the order of them, just that you have them.
And this will be online, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, this will be online. Amen. I feel like there's something, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Do you have something? Or? Yeah, it is. Spirit. Oh, boy, yeah, that's not happening. ability to speak in tongues, that ability to do that is only because of the Holy Spirit. He gives me that ability. If he wasn't in me, I could not do that. That's how real he is. He literally is right here with me. I've laid hands on hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of people. My hand is literally heated up, got hot. I've had probably 100 people make a comment about how hot their hand was when I laid my hand on. It doesn't happen every time. But probably over 100 people, I've laid my hand on their hand. I can feel it heated up, and they feel it. Oh my gosh, my head's on fire. What is that? That's not me. I can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the power of God literally flowing out of me and affecting someone's life. He's in me. He's in you. He's real. And he wants us to know him. Amen? If anyone has anything you want prayer for, emotionally, physically, anything, I would invite you to come up. And Peter and I and Renee will be here to pray for you.
Just real quick, there's scriptural precedent to doing this. It says signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. So Brad just shared the word, and God wants that word to manifest in your life. So feel free to come up and get breakthrough. Please do. If you aren't coming up for prayer and you are just wanting to kind of hang for a second, you can help set up for dinner. But up here, this space is for prayer.
Okay, there is something else. And you know, I was sensing there was something else. And maybe this is it right here.
It seemed like the perfect time for me in children's church ministry. Something profound happened to me this week with the Holy Spirit. And I've been a Christian for many, 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 many years. And I was just blown away by this. But I was going through a hard thing this week. And I had a group that night. And I didn't want to have a group that night because I wanted to obsess about my problem instead. And I remember clearly I was out on the front walk. You know when God really touches you?
It's really good. Please listen to this. It's really good.
You know when God, and I was told, Holy Spirit, I just pray that they will get what I'm trying to say. Because it's life changing. It was life changing to me. So I called my girlfriend, you know, my mom's helping with her, and I'm shoveling, you know, so I need to get it together. And then I was done with her, and the Holy Spirit said to me, Renee, I care about what you're going through right now, and I know what you're going through right now, and I want to partner with you. I know the issues you've got, because I have some deep issues God's working on. And he goes, I know the issues you've got. And I'm not just about partnering with you in ministry, because I'm always thinking about the Holy Spirit being my partner in ministry. And he said, I care, this seems almost incredible. It's like, I care as much about you and helping you through this issue and this problem and partnering with you to get you through this and to get a sign into the freedom that is yours, as I care about you ministering to people about Jesus. I have spent so much of my Christian life just doing the ministry and then feeling like when I have my issues, okay, I'm on my own. And the Holy Spirit's like, no. I am as much of a partner with you in helping you in your life and with your stuff and with your problems. And I care just as much about that as when we go out to ministry. In fact, I want you to put that focus in on that focus here. And we'll do that one next time. And I know he wants you to do that with everyone else. He, like Brad said, he wants us to get to know him. He wants you to get to know how much he knows you and loves you. And wants to help you get free from anything that's going on. And to solve your problems. Every problem you've got, he's got the answer to it. Every single problem.
I care as much about you and the issues of your heart, the issues of your life, as I do about you leading someone to Christ. That is absolutely true. That is God. That's his heart. We can be all business with God. Well, you know, God, I'm going to learn evangelism, like what, lead people to Christ. That's awesome, because that's what he tells us to do. We're supposed to do that. We need to learn that. And that is the most pleasing thing to the Lord, that we can lead someone to know him. Well, But why does he want to lead someone to him? Because he loves them and he wants to get to know them. Well, what are we, chopped liver after we give our life to Christ? No. He wanted us to come to him so that we would know him and that he could heal the wounds of our heart and make us the beautiful vessel that he originally created us to be. He cares as much about you right now as anything you can ever do for him. Leading someone to Christ is not more important to him than his ministry to you and your life and your heart and causing you to be glorified and become more like Christ. That's his ministry. His ministry is you. He is here to present you to the Father, spotless and blameless. That's his ministry. It's to minister to you, to love on you, to take care of you, to heal the wounds of your heart, to fill you with his word, to bring you into the fullness of God. That's his ministry. And we can get very business-minded and say, it's about doing the work of the kingdom, doing the work of the kingdom. And that's absolutely true. But that's only half of the equation. The other half is the Holy Spirit working in us and making us more like children of the kingdom. Healed, beautiful, strong, powerful, conquerors in the earth. Not broken, hurting, because of the work of the enemy. There's an enemy in the earth working on us and against us all the time, relentlessly. The Holy Spirit is here saying,
that was weird.
I'm infinitely times more powerful than him. I can work on your behalf against that and cause everything that you want in your life to happen. I will bring out the Christ-likeness in you. I'm much stronger than he is. Don't worry about him. And I need you to open up that door to me. I need you to be open to me working in life. That was it. I knew there was something in the Spirit of the Lord wanted to say. Praise God. Thank you. That's great. All right. Father, let's just pray over this word and seal it. It says that the enemy, the one we were talking about, will try and come and steal this word out of your heart. You don't want it stolen. We just pray over it right now. Father, we thank you for this word that's come forth, the truth that has come forth today. We pray right now that by your Spirit, you would seal this word so that it would be ours forever, that it would grow in our heart and bring forth a hundredfold return. And not only would we receive all the transformation that comes from this word, but that our tree would become great and large, and that others could come and nest under the shade of our tree, of the tree of life that we have in us. We thank you for it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray your blessing now on everyone at the sound of my voice right now. They would go forth this week with your blessing. I declare your blessing over them now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Looking forward to seeing you next week.